You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation and chapter 1. And in our studies, we have been staying on the same page, moving through each time, and we'll probably pick it up on Father's Day even. And moving through to understand a life that God has given us to be the norm. And all of it's true all the time. We try to go through all the different truths of the Bible, but we've been seeking to hit it specifically, since the way to cope with the virus is to understand the life. You can't tackle your human existence rightly and consistently without an understanding of your spiritual existence. Now, so in the light of that, here's Revelation chapter 1, and sliding down in the light of everything, context, sliding down to verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hang on to that. So in the book of Revelation is going to start out for the believer to understand the book of Revelation isn't written for the tribulation as primarily as it is for us, to be able to understand how it's going to go and why it's going to go. Now, having said that, and picking up again, the end of verse 5, who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now slide over, if you would, to the book of Acts and chapter 20. And in the book of Acts, chapter 20, you will note a statement in Paul's, this is Paul's last contact publicly with the church in Ephesus, and in the light of that. So therefore, verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, having the oversight to make sure things go right, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So God speaks of his own blood. When Christ died on the cross in his perfect humanity, it was God said, that's my blood. It's my blood. Hang on to that. And here we have a specific to the church in Ephesus, etc. To the church of God, he lets them know he has purchased the church of God with his own blood. Hang on to that. Now, over to Ephesians. And in the light of, we share together that the Ephesus has to do with the wonderful body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians has to do with his wonderful headship over the body. And Philippians has to do with the outworking of that body in the dynamic of exercising its wonderful existence. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Now, what about the good work? What is the good work? Ephesians, remember Ephesians is the sort of the top of the pile. Book of Ephesians is the Alps. It's all kinds of ways they've described it. The book of Ephesians is the top. Out from the book of Ephesians comes, it's all about heavenly truth and your unique relationship that is so real. And then that has to be understood to bring it down to Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So now, here in Ephesians, just touching things. And we share that the Sunday night, remember. We read the Bible, but we don't pay attention. We don't let it sink in. Little words, little sayings, three or four little words that you don't have the rest of your life to understand. Wow. Now, so here's Ephesians. And in chapter 1, and if I could go to, if I can, I'll pick it up in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, marked out ahead of time, a plan, a purpose, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. What is he? He's looking for children. He's looking for us to be sons, children. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored, accepted, highly favored, graced, in his beloved, in whom we have redemption. How so? By means of through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So as we sit and read and think together in God's presence, what do we know without even being too deep? That your sins are forgiven. True. Your sins are forgiven. You don't make them forgiven. You don't make it happen. God did. Your sins are forgiven. If you're saved. People don't live with that understanding as much as they should, but that's where it is. God has forgiven us all our sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the riches of his grace. So God, you died on the cross, and you then died to forgive our sins in a most wonderful way. Over what in the light of that, and what we read in verse 6, the word accepted, highly favored. So A, you're forgiven right now. Either you're saved or you're not. And you're highly favored. Not just favored. That's grace. This little word is highly favored. Highly favored. Above and beyond God's favor. You're highly favored. Now, over to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, may I pick up, please, in thought. Picking up, you get the idea of it quickly. In verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near. How do we get near? By the blood of Christ. We're forgiven by the blood of Christ. And in the process, we're forgiven, and we're able to come near. God, how near can we come? Because you're forgiven. How are we going to get near? By the blood of Christ, which forgives us. Hang on. Hold your finger here and go over to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. And in Hebrews chapter 10, may I pick up, please, in thought, if I can, verse 19, you know it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, frank, free, boldness to enter into the holiest, but how? By the blood of Jesus. Now, how near can we get to God? Our sins are forgiven. And it's how are we going to ever get near to God? We're right in his presence right now. How are we going to get near him? Actually, how are we going to do so? We can go, how near? By the blood of Christ, all the way into God's wonderful heart, the holiness of God, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, the temple, and in heaven, into God's wonderful person. That's where we can go. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get there? By the blood of Christ. Verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He went and died on the cross. He paid the price. How so? He shed his blood. And God said, when that blood was shed, that was my blood, he said. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I can, picking up in verse 10, remember, all the context is wonderful. All we're doing is trying to just take a little bit to get you to think about what it says. Verse 10, that purpose in the dispensation, the stewardship of our stewardship is the dispensation of grace, of that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, God, might gather together in one all things. Where is God to put everything together that's out of whack because of sin? Where is God going to do that? He's going to do that in Christ, verse 10. Both which are in heaven, how much are you going to put together? Everything in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God is going to do all of this in himself, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, that's all one word, being predestinated. Now, who we've obtained an inheritance, that means what? We have obtained an inheritance. We are made his inheritance, to make it simple. God has made the believing heart Christ. It's his. Hang on to that. So when he got saved, he paid the price in Calvary's cross and forgave us. And secondly, we're highly favored thus, and highly favored, and God has gone and made it possible that we are his inheritance. God has given to his son the church, the body. Now, and you'll know, please, in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, marked out ahead of time. What is it this time? Well, this time, according to the purpose of him, what is God's wonderful purpose? Who worketh all things work together for good, all things, God works everything, God works anything and everything for his wonderful purpose. Who worketh all things after how things are going to go, here, there, what people think, what people feel, what people want, what people are afraid of and fearing. No. He's going to do what he does according to the counsel of his own will. That's what he's going to do. Hang on to that. So, he's going to do that. Now I want to know, what's he going to do according to his own will, counsel of his own will? Verse 12, that, and that little preposition has to do with going into the room, like coming through the door, and then sitting down. You enter the room, sit down, and stay there. That's the little preposition, that, in order that, etc. Not that kind of thing. So, in order to, for, verse 12. In order to what? What are you going to do? What did you predestinate us for? What do you want us for? Why are we his inheritance? To the praise, verse 12, to be, should be, to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, God, you have a wonderful plan saving us, forgiving us our sin, highly favoring us, and you're doing so, verse 12, and you're doing all of this, that's your plan, to be children, and the children ought to be, the believers, ought to be to the praise of his glory. That's what they are. They ought to be to the praise of his glory. They ought, we'll hang on, we're going to pick that up in a sec, to the praise of his glory. Now, God, that's what you want us to do. You want us to understand that. We ought to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Wow. And with the result that we're going to be to his glory. So whatever it is that he saves us for, forgives us by his blood, and saves us, is to be for the praise of his glory. That's what he wants. It doesn't say our glory. Doesn't say anything about that. No. It's for God to give to his Son, Jesus Christ, the believing heart, to be his body, a gift, to be his body, in order for him, in order for the body, to show forth the extraordinary, awesome relationship that they have to God, being highly favored and forgiven. Highly favored before God. Wow. That's what we're supposed to do. So when we go to bed, when we get up and eat breakfast or whatever we do, we're supposed to be to his the praise of his glory. We're supposed to be enjoying uniqueness, an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. We're supposed to understand that. It's part of our thing. Well, but what about this and what about that? Hold it. You deal with it as much as you understand, as best you can, depending on what you hear and what you listen to, what you understand. Everyone has different intake and everything else. So that makes for a great variety, because they aren't all on the same page. But when it comes to believers, for us, we ought to be at least on this page with God. We ought to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what we're to be, in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that, in the light of, and God's going to do his wonderful thing to us and for us in his awesome way to do it. And God's going to do it. Now, slide over, tap chapter 3 for a moment. God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to work out, we're to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians. You aren't looking at that, but that's what it says. Now, in the light of that, in the light, God, you're going to do this. I am. God's going to do it. So I want to know, is God going to do it? God, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. So it doesn't say you do, but God enables you to do, to make it happen. You can't make it happen. God makes it happen. Because you can't produce, and I can't produce, the life that is required to represent him. I can't do that. You can't do that. But God can do it. And God does it in his most marvelous way. And therefore, Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, so I'll read that again, because just in case. Now, God, we're to be to the praise of his glory. That's our assignment. Now, you can make it anything you want, but that's what God has given you to do, being highly favored and forgiven by his blood. He purchased you for this unique function, to be to the praise of his glory. Well, now, so that God would be honored, that we would show what? Our unique relationship to God, that we are children of God, we're saved by God, we're forgiven sinners. God has made us new creatures in Christ. And that's what's true. Now, whether people at work, at home, family, friends, enemies, Well, they may not understand that. And even if you told them, they still don't understand it. But it's true. And we live like that. We're supposed to live like that. For what? We're to be to the praise of His glory, of His grace. So we don't get around not in bondage, and you aren't in bondage, unless you want to make yourself in bondage. And you can certainly do it. It's up to you. Whatever you want. But God has set us free. The truth will set you free. So therefore, in the light of that, in chapter 3 and in verse 20, God has gone and done a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit, God is going to do all of these things for His glory and for His honor. Now, and He's going to do a wonderful work in the heart. That's what He's going to do. Now, hang on. In order to catch that, hold your finger here again and go over with me, over to Job, the book of Job before Psalms. And in Job chapter 23, Job in chapter 23, picking up the thought, if I may, in the light of all of that. So here, looking, chapter 23, remember, here's Job, and Job, all the things going on in the world, but God, and Job was a God's man, in chapter 1, he's God's man, and on planet Earth, among others, and in the process, God honors him, and God's doing a wonderful work in his life. So as you read the book of Job, you aren't reading about his great outreach, or his great ventures, or his great power. No. What you're reading about is the heart of a man being exercised, experienced, to be able to enjoy God in an increased level. And that's what's happening. So when you read Job, you know all this, chapter 23, picking up, if I can, just quickly for the context, in verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But this exercise, God, Job, but he knoweth the way that I take." He knows what he's doing, and I'm gonna stick with him. "The way that I take, when he hath tried me, put me to the test, put me in the oven, to test me, to see whether I'm what, to see if I'm pure, to give me the wonderful purity, the preciousness. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's what's going to happen. So in Job's life, it's all the things in the world. But God was working on Job. Now, God, what are you doing with us? All right. Go back and hold your finger in Ephesians still and go over to Peter. First Peter and chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, what do you know? Here's Peter. Peter certainly went through the rigors of being tested and denying the Lord and all of these things to be educated in the College of Hard Knocks. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read verse 4. "To the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So there's something wonderful that lies ahead. Hang on to that. And, verse 5, "And we who have a wonderful future, we who are kept by the power of God," we just read it in Ephesians 3:20, "kept by the power of God, kept by the power of God, through faith," we're going to believe, walk by faith, not by sight, "unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We're headed down the road. Now, verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoiced, though now," it was a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thing if we think about and try to understand what we're looking at and reading. That's awesome, right? But, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many kinds of testings, provings, like Job, like all of us. And God, we're going through it. That's right, going through it. Now, what's the purpose of going through it? Just to get through it and feel better, just to get through it and continue whatever we're trying to do in life? No. Verse 7, that purpose, the trial of your faith, putting to the proof your faith, walk by faith and not by sight, putting to the proof your faith, being much more precious than of gold. Now, Job, are you interested in gold? No, I want to come forth as gold. I want to be found to God, in God's hands, precious, precious. Hang on to that. Now, therefore, in Peter, verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried, put to the test, the proof, with fire, that it might be found. What's the whole point of it? What's the whole point of this whole thing? That it should be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Were you able to hang in there and keep on going and looking to God, being understand you're precious, you're bought with a price, you're forgiven, you're highly favored, and God is doing what? He wants to be glorified in your body because it's now his. Now, if it's really his, it isn't yours. So you're going to go and trust him. That's what you do. You do everything you should. You brush your teeth. You take your vitamins, eat your Cheerios, and do everything you should. But you trust him. That's your life. Your life isn't in the medicine. Your life isn't in the health. The life isn't in your wealth. It isn't in your job. Your life is in Christ. And you don't want to forget it. That doesn't mean you know all the other things you should, but you don't want to forget where it is. Either it's in Christ or it isn't. That if you got life, that's where it is. You're highly favored. Wow. In verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, believing God, even the salvation of your soul. So God's going to be doing a wonderful thing. He that begun a good work is going to do it. He's going to finish it. He began his work. That's what he did. Back over to Ephesians. Having done that now, keeping that in mind, in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, and what am I supposed to know? The hope, the expectancy of his calling. God has called you to himself for his glory and honor, to be to the praise of his glory. And what else? What am I supposed to be knowing and understanding? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, if you're saved. The riches of the glory were to be to the praise of his glory, the riches of his glory in you, if you're a saint, a believer. That's what it's about. Wow. So therefore, that's what we're supposed to know. What? Our inheritance. Not our inheritance, that's true that we have it. But it's his inheritance we're talking about at the moment. He inherited, it cost him his blood to have you. It cost him his blood for him to have a trophy, for him to have something, his inheritance, to be able to show to the world what God has. God has gone and taken a vessel of dust, a sinful, alienated from God vessel, and saved them forgiven him and highly favored him and put him and put in Christ becomes, my heart becomes Christ home. And my heart becomes Christ home. And I'm bought with a price. And I need to know I am his inheritance. For what? To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what I am. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what I am. That's why you're breathing, if you're saved. You're to be his, to his glory. Not to his shame, to his glory. God is going to do a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 1, sliding down. As you know, God has given Christ, verse 22, as you know, has put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things, to the church, everything, he's the head. He's the boss, he's the Lord. And then you have church, and then you move quickly, immediately from the word church, the end of verse 22, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's a wonderful thing. God is gone, and when God has taken, God the Father has taken and given the believing heart into the wonderful, for the wonderful person of Christ to have expression, to show his wonderful grace. It isn't about us. We're vessels of dust, vessels of clay. It's about God in us. We're to be to the praise of his glory in the thick and thin of it. And we don't want to make God look like a less than he is. God's awesome. That's why we sit together and we're learning to sit. And as if it ever improves, we'll be able to have communion because we can sit together. But in the process, the system controls things for the moment, but it doesn't control us. We are in God's presence. We belong to our Savior. And the bodies are not mine and not ours. They're his, and it's his life. We're to be to the praise of his glory, and he is not hindered, halted, moved, disturbed, unresourceful. It doesn't have any resources to handle whatever it is that you face when you go to bed and when you get up in the morning. God is able to handle the whole ball of wax, and you're learning to trust him, I hope. Learning to look to him for real. If you don't do it for real, it's just a no-so, without a hope-so. Now, so here in Ephesians, God does that. So he does that wonderful thing. Now, in the process of being in Christ, God, you have done something wonderful for us. And you have to understand, that's Ephesians. So God, we're a part of your body. We are your inheritance. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Spirit of God, places us in the wonderful body of Christ because God has made provision of it. When he died on the cross, he shed his blood to purchase us. Now, having said that, sliding over to chapter 2, God tells us something else. Not only in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's right, it's by grace. And that grace, what about that grace? We're saved by grace. That's why we're to be to the praise of the glory. And we're saved by grace, forgiven by his blood, by his grace. Now, so therefore, verse 6 after verse 5, and hath raised us up, to sit together, made us sit together, being there in heavenly places. Where are we seated? In Christ Jesus. That's where you're seated. That's where you are now. And if you're really saved and your heart stops beating, why are you going to go and be there? Because you're already there. Where are you already in the wonderful person of Christ? What life are you having? His. Are you going to have more of it? No. This is it. God has given you his wonderful person in all of his fullness. And you're not going to get more of it. All you're going to do is discover the wonderful life that God has given you. Where is the life? In the person of Jesus Christ, in God. So we have to die to leave this body to enter in to God's wonderful program. Flesh and blood cannot inherit this, the next life. It's only for now. So now, in Ephesians, it made us sit together that, and the reason we're going to be seated there, and we're there, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So God, that's where we're seated. Now, so where are you going to go? Absent from the body, what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why are you going to happen? You're seated. It's real. That's where God is. God sees you a new creature in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And wow. So going now, moving along, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So all that God is doing in Christ, he's doing it for his honor and for his glory. To the praise, verse 12 again, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what God's going to do. And, by the way, verse 9, well, you don't even do that for time's sake. Go with me, please, over in the light of that. Over to chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, God is going to go and do something wonderful for us. And he's going to present us. So here we are on planet Earth, and we're new creatures in Christ. We're to be to the praise of his glory here and now, right now. And so it says, that's what God's going to do, and that's what God has done. So therefore, I want to understand that and exercise it so that I have that. So I'm not trying to figure out my resources and how's life going to work and how's this going to work and how's that going to come out, and we're busy trying to fool and figure it out. No, I don't know how to figure out the moment. I don't have the answers, and neither do you. But I already know the next moment. I'm going to be there. And as far as time goes, time was but a moment in the light of where we're going. So God, I'm looking there. I'm seated there. I have my power there. I have my privileges there. I'm highly favored to be there. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Not because I deserve one drop of it, but because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Over, if you would, to 1 John. So as you go down and live out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, school, work, home, as you do all of these things and seek to make them come out all right in what you do, and remember we shared together that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased us and forgiven us by way of his blood. That's how we get near to God. That's how we come to God, by way of the blood. What is the blood? God, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Highly favored, and we're to come boldly, and we're to come because we're to be to the praise of his glory. So that when people look, what are we? We acknowledge God as creator, praise. We acknowledge him. God has taken these vessels of dust, and God has placed himself in them, and he's doing a wonderful work to change us. So we're in this body, we look in the mirror, like the dwarfs we had the other day. We look in the mirror and we're the same. But we aren't the same. And if you're letting God do the work, working out your own salvation, you're changing. You're changing. Lots of people sit for years and never change. Never change. never change. We're supposed to be changing. And as we change, and we're changing, then we're to be to the praise of God's doing a work, and we're to be to the praise of what? His glory. Well, what's he doing in our heart? He's making us to be conformed to the image of his Son, to make us sons for real. So when we see him, we're going to be what? We're going to be like him. That's where you're headed. That's what's going on in your heart. Job, gold. Peter, gold. God, do the work. For what? That's what we're looking for God to do something wonderful to the praise of the honor of his grace. Well, so here in 1 John, as we do that, going down the road and we're forgiven, and the blood of Jesus Christ gets us so close, we're right in the middle of God. Well, how are we going to keep going? Because we got that old nature, and you know it, but put it together in the light of what we're trying to think about. Put it together in 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have the blood, we have fellowship one with one another. Straight old wonderful fellowship. Not fellowship. Here we are in the presence of God. Should we not be able to be in fellowship? That's my question. If you're saved and I'm saved, shouldn't we be able to be in fellowship? But. No buts. No buts. Our union is not based on our physical anything. Our union is based on the person of Jesus Christ in us. And the Spirit of God puts us together. Now, I know that's a hard thing and very rare to even for people to think about it. But that's what it's supposed to be. That's why we have communion. To try to understand our uniqueness. And the uniqueness isn't in our flesh and our system. It's in Christ. And that's what we need to demonstrate. That we're in Christ. We're new creatures. We're to be to the praise of his glory. Shouldn't it? We're seated in heavenly places. That's what it's supposed to be. Why is it so hard? It isn't hard. It isn't hard. Now, so therefore, and you'll notice, please, in verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is doing what, dear friends? It's cleansing us from all sin. That's what his blood is doing. By his blood, he's forgiven you everything. So here we got a lousy old nature, attitude, fears, faults, and fumblings, and we got all of that stuff inside of us. No question. No question. But, dear friends, we don't go by that. How can I walk down the street? How can I walk by faith and not by sight? How do I get out of bed and go to bed, eat and drink and work and home and school and play? How do I do that? I walk. I live through that. How do I live through it? Well, I got an old nature. I'm struggling with all the things that I hear, I listen, I feel, I fear. I got them all coming and going in my little head. I got them, and then I hear the news, and I hear this, and whatever. And I got all that to stir it up again, and then whatever happens at work, at school, or something. And we got it all going and going, and people are talking to us and saying things. Wow. And they're doing all of those things. Now, God said, would you understand? The reason you're looking to me is because my blood is cleansing you from all sin. So all of those dumb thoughts you have and all of those stuff going on in your mind, God's thoughts and his ways are higher than what? Higher than the heavens. Now God said, do you understand? If you walk in the light, I am in the light. I'm going to walk with you in the Spirit of God. I'm going to walk. It's my home. I'm going to be in your heart to the praise of the glory of my grace. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to let them people. What are you doing? You are appreciating. you have come to some measure of understanding that you are created. I created you. I died for you. I created you and died for you. And I want you to know that the life you now live is for my glory and honor. And that's what I'm looking for. So God, that's what you're looking for. And how could it ever be? I don't feel it. No. I don't deserve it. No. The other people. No. The blood of Jesus Christ is what you're walking in. And it's cleansing you. Like your eye, constantly washing your eyeballs. It does. It just does. That's how we live. So we aren't sitting there all frustrated about everything. The next thing to happen, the next thing, about this and about that. It's going to be one thing or another. And it's always going to be. That's going to even get more difficult. So God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to go and look to you. And therefore, God, over if I can, Malachi chapter 4. And in Malachi chapter 4, as you end the Old Testament, you would recall, it's not very good. The Israelites aren't doing well at all. The world system isn't doing well at all. And God finds those believers that are looking to him, in verse 16, and then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them, that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They were thinking, talking, trusting God. Now, God, what did you do with these people, this remnant, in the light of the Old Testament going into the 400 years, etc., before John the Baptist? God, what have we got? Well, verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm going to take these guys at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, I'm going to make them mine. And their future is to be my precious jewels. That's their future. Highly favored. Aha! What are we doing? Well, God, what are you doing? They're looking for the future. What are we supposed to be doing? We already are highly favored. We already are there. We're supposed to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ in his wonderful, glorious person. So that as people look, they don't have to wait for us to get to heaven to see us seated. They can see us. How? Because we, vessels of dust, acknowledge our Creator and our Savior. And he's awesome. If you had a picture, and you had a picture, and the artist was painting it, wonderful picture, painting. And in the process of painting it, as he comes near to the end, he's going to sign his name. Now the painting, without the name, wouldn't even bother with it. But you know, if you were to go and see some of those paintings, unless you're really art conscious, you wouldn't say, I'd never pay a penny for it. But there's his name. There's his name. There's the artist's name. Wow. 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 The painting points to whom? The painter. It's a painting. It isn't us. It's the God who has saved us. And we appreciate him. We are in praise to him. We acknowledge him. And now what are they going to do with the Revelation 4 and 5? And what's the whole world doing? Acknowledging God created the angels the seraphim and cherubim and us transformed to be like him. We, who are nobody, to be like him. That's where we're going. That's what's happening. So don't get hung up and lose out because of that. Because I don't know how, I don't know. God help us. So God, here we are looking. And therefore, as we go down the corridor of time, God, in his wonderful grace, we're to be to the praise of his glory. And we have need, all we're doing is mumbling a little bit about that which is what he talks about. And that's what he talks about, is what's about us, about our relationship. To whom? To God. We're in his presence. That's an awesome thing. But if you eliminate God, and you don't believe the Bible, really, I believe the Bible, but you really don't believe the Bible. You really don't believe the Bible. Well, then it won't make any difference. But boy, if you begin to let it, if we can begin to let it come home to our heart, to get it, it's an awesome, we're just nobodies. If you think you're somebody, when you go home tonight, before you go to bed, go look in the mirror. Is that right? Look in the mirror. And then take a good look at yourself and whatever age you are. And when you're young, you think you're gonna be beautiful. When you're 110, you may not look beautiful anymore. What can I tell you? But in the process, God has taken you, a vessel of flesh, deteriorating flesh, and made you his trophy. You're his inheritance for him to be in such a vessel. And who gets all the, who gets congratulated for making you a new creature? Who gets congratulated for saving you? Who's your creator? God. God from start to finish. And you're learning to rest in that. I don't know how people live. I don't know. But I hope you get a little bit. Didn't even start. It's an awesome thing to be saved, isn't it?